Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, and they have an amazing offer for new customers. You bet just $1 on any NFL game, and you win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. That's right. Either team scores a point, you get $100 in free bets. So DraftKings customers can also get skin in the game with new same-game parlays, combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you could win. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code KSN. Bet just $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. That's code KSN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is the fourth quarter of the Keystone Kickoff Show. That means our guest is Dustin Schutte from SaturdayTradition.com, the website for all things Big Ten sports. You can catch everything from Saturday Tradition on our app. Nice button there. Dustin, welcome to the show. Another big day in Big Ten football. Let me start with this. Is there any team other than Iowa in the West Division that's even relevant?
Oh, boy. Yeah, you put me on the spot with that one. Right now, I would say there's not a team I would trust to win the Big Ten West. I think Nebraska's playing well. Minnesota has kind of been a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Same with Purdue a little bit early in the season. But Wisconsin has not lived up to the expectations. Northwestern looks really bad. Illinois, their lone win against Nebraska, they finally got that second win against Charlotte last weekend, so they haven't played particularly well. I mean, this is Iowa's division to win. This has been kind of a disappointing. I thought this was going to be a really deep division and a division that I thought was going to be really fun to watch from start to finish, and so far it's not been the case.
The right answer, Dustin, is no. Nobody is relevant in that half of the conference except for Iowa. That's the right answer, which means there's also a lot of good teams in the East. But The one player who is performing, though, is you, Dustin. Again, last week you were 2-1 with your picks. Overall, you are 9-5-1 on the season. My goodness, I really hope listeners are following your advice.
Apparently, I'm Mr. Consistency, right? Getting going 2-1, it seems like, every week. I didn't even realize that. I'll take it.
I will, too. Let's quickly go over some of the games from last week. You mentioned Wisconsin being a disappointment. And last week, you mentioned you were very confident in Michigan over Wisconsin.
Yeah, I thought that it was curious to me that when that line came out that Wisconsin was favored at -1.5. But when you kind of look at, you know, Michigan hadn't been favored as an underdog. It had been 20 years since they played it, or they won at Camp Randall Stadium. There were some questions about whether Cade McNamara would be able to throw the ball. And at that time, Wisconsin was only giving up, I think, 20 or 25 yards on the ground per game. So, you know, there were reasons to believe Wisconsin could get a win in that game, but Michigan, you know, from about the second quarter on, really started to flex its muscle. I was impressed with what we saw from Cade McNamara, 197 yards, couple touchdown passes. They had some guys at the receiver position. Cornelius Johnson looked really good. Hassan Haskins and Blake Corum did their thing. I was really impressed on both sides of the ball with the way Michigan played, and now we're looking at Wisconsin 1-3, and boy, even looking at that schedule, when they've had to play 3 ranked opponents, I would have never guessed that this team would be 1-3 heading into the bulk of October.
And then your one loss last week was Rutgers was getting 16 points against Ohio State, and that was not nearly enough, was it?
No, it wasn't. And you know what's funny is I wrote about what happens if Ohio State finally just kind of clicks, right? What if they just figure it out? And that's what happened, I think. You know, they got Chris Olave back on track. C.J. Stroud threw a freshman program record of 5 touchdown passes against Rutgers. They had a pick 6. Ohio State had 3 interceptions in that game. Really, on both sides of the ball, I think Ohio State started to figure some stuff out. Trevion Henderson was phenomenal again. They looked like a team that can compete in the Big Ten East. And we had some questions through those first couple weeks, but these last 2 games against Akron and Rutgers, they've looked really good. And, of course, the competition's going to get a lot tougher, so we'll see what the Buckeyes are made of here in this month.
Yeah, we definitely will. Every team in the East, just by being in the East, they have a tough schedule automatically because there are so many good teams there. Let's get to the game that the Penn State fans, of course, were most interested in. That was the Penn State-Indiana game Saturday night under the lights in Happy Valley. This is one you've been calling since the season started. This was before Indiana was even struggling. You've been saying all along, revenge game. Look at Penn State's going to win this no matter what.
Yeah, and I thought when you factored in the fact that Indiana had not played well against Iowa and Cincinnati, their 2 losses coming into that game. It was a night game. It was in front of a Beaver Stadium crowd. Penn State had been playing well on both sides of the ball. Sean Clifford had taken that next step. And you know what's funny, Jim, is I thought that this game was actually going to be a little bit even uglier than what it was. I thought it would be somewhere Penn State would have 40 around the 40-point mark and Indiana would be under 10, and turns out Indiana was under 10. I think I could make the argument that I understand a lot of people point to that week 1 game against Wisconsin, but I think I can make the argument that that was probably the poorest Penn State has played offensively this season, and they still won 24-0. That tells you how good that defense is. And what I really liked about this game in particular was that Penn State committed to establishing the run. And I think that that's kind of a preview, and we'll talk about this later, I'm sure, as to what we're going to see against Iowa, because as we've seen teams do against Iowa, you can't throw the ball 50 times and expect to win. So I was glad to see Penn State establish something with the run. I thought Kevon Lee looked really good. He was a power running back in that game. Sean Clifford showed off his legs. He still completed 17 of his 33 pass attempts, 3 touchdowns, the 1 interception, a really good play by Raheem Lane. But you know, it was a dominant defensive performance. You would have liked to see a little bit more scoring on the offensive side from Penn State, but I think, again, overall, that Indiana defense was really good. I didn't think Penn State's offense played its best game by far, and they still, again, managed to win that game 24-0. So that just tells you, when you play maybe a B game, B-minus game against a really good team, and you're still winning by more than 3 touchdowns, that's a sign of a really good program and a team that can compete in the Big Ten.
It really is, and I want to get your perspective, Dustin, as an outsider on Penn State's running game. Todd Blackledge was talking it up, and many people were saying much improved. Here, I want to throw, a couple statistics at you from this running game, 2 of them specifically. 5 times they had either 3rd down or 4th down in short and failed, and the running backs carried the ball 30 times. 16 out of the 30, more than half the time, they gained 2 yards or less. With those numbers, what did you think of the run? Is it truly improved?
Yeah, I think it's better than what it has been. I don't know that it's where it needs to be, but we've talked about this. You know, with Mike Yurcich's offense, they kind of have that extension of the run game in terms of getting the ball quick out to the hands of the wide receivers and allowing the playmakers to kind of make plays. So it does leave some to be desired, but you also have to factor in that there were some big plays. They were able to bust loose on some of these plays, and they were able to pick up some chunk yardage at times, and Sean Clifford was a threat in the rushing attack. And in my opinion, that's going to keep teams like Indiana, even though they're 2-3, Indiana still has a really good defense. I think people, Penn State fans, saw that on Saturday night in Happy Valley. So I think that the running game is improved. Is it where it needs to be? Probably not. But at the same time, if you're a threat to bust out a big run, if you're able to sometimes pick up those 3rd and 4th shorts, I know they were unsuccessful at times in that game, but I still have a lot of confidence in this running attack that it can do enough to get the job done against some of these teams that they're going to be playing, considering how Yursich's offense is run.
All right, let's get to this coming weekend's games. The first two, let's go through pretty quickly so we can talk Penn State-Iowa, and that's Michigan at Nebraska. Michigan's a five-point favorite. As you said, Nebraska has been playing better the last several weeks.
Yeah, Nebraska rushing over 400 yards. They played really well. Adrian Martinez has been outstanding. My question, Jim, is they have not done this in a game against a ranked opponent. They came up short against Michigan State. They had some special teams gaffes. They had special teams gaffes against Oklahoma. Can we see them do it against a big-time opponent on a big-time stage? I would take Michigan in the points in this. I think it's close, but I think Michigan covers.
All right, so we got Michigan. The second game is Maryland at Ohio State. This is similar to that Rutgers-Ohio State. Maryland is getting 19.5 points at Ohio State.
From what I've seen out of Ohio State the last 2 weeks, I'm going to take Ohio State in the points here, and I know that's a big spread. But also, you got to look at the injury to Dante Demas and how things kind of spiraled out of control after that happened against Iowa. I do think Maryland's improved from where they were last season, but I expect that this game's going to look a lot similar to what we saw between Ohio State and Rutgers. I think the Buckeyes are going to run away with this one.
All right, and finally, this is the big game of the weekend. You got two top five teams, Penn State at Iowa, under the lights, Iowa a 1.5 favorite. I think they're both very good teams.
Yeah, I think that this is maybe the game of the season. And let's be honest, it could be a preview of the Big Ten championship game. This could be round one of these two heavyweights. The way that both teams are playing defensively, I think I give the edge to Iowa in terms of how they're playing defensively. They have 12 interceptions leading the nation. They have 16 total turnovers leading the nation, and they're leading the nation in turnover margin at plus 12. So that's pretty good. Penn State obviously has done a lot of good things on their defensive side. I like Sean Clifford a little bit more under center than I like Spencer Petras. So for me, this is going to be a great Big Ten game. I don't think either team is going to get past that 20-point mark in this one. This is just going to be two great defenses. But because I have more faith in the Penn State offense, I think Penn State, in front of a crowded Kinnick Stadium, gets another win over Iowa and kind of cements itself as the front runner in the Big Ten East.
All right. Again, you're playing to the audience correctly there, Dustin. I'll give you that. And I believe I mentioned a night game. It's actually a 4 o'clock game, which I think is a bit of an advantage to Penn State. I think when you have the night game, the home crowd is a little more ruckus. I think that plays in favor of Penn State also.
I think so, too. I think Penn State's been on this stage a couple times this season, night game against Indiana, night game against Auburn. Even though this isn't at home, it's on the road. It's going to be a hostile environment. But I think that Penn State's experience in these games this season, I know Iowa's played in some big ones, but I think that that also helps Penn State in this game.
All right. Thank you so much, Dustin. But that is it for this edition of the show. Thank you all for tuning in, and make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has an amazing offer for new customers. Bet just $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. That's code KSN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.